anything angry sign. Use their vision just to blind the blind. Poison players of a grisly game. One is guilty and the other gets to point the blame. Pardon me if I refrain. Find a flag so you can wave goodbye. But just before the end, even treason might be worth a try. This country is too young to die. Marches as they mow the lawn, and the gargoyles only sit and grieve. The gypsy fortune teller told me that we've been deceived. You only are what you.
And that, of course, was Phil Oakes, The War Is Over, 1968 song, I think, that was only 7 years premature. But then again, who could anticipate Tricky Dicky? Or Tricky George, for that matter. Here we are in 2006, and the war is a-raging strong. I haven't really talked much about the war, and I'd like to talk more. Except on this two-hour show, I usually try to rush through a lot of stuff that doesn't get published elsewhere. If you want to read what I consider to be interesting info on the war, albeit from a leftist perspective, check out Counterpunch, Informed Comment. These are websites. Dissident Voice. And if you've got other suggestions, let me know. I also try to focus on local civil rights issues here on the show and invite callers. 427-3772, 427-FRSC is the call-in number, or one of them. And if that one gets full, I'll give you the other one. You can jump to pagesincolor.com, the chat room, where I will occasionally be chatting with you, or you can just try calling. Looks like somebody's doing that right now. Hi, you're on Free Radio. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the
air.
Hi.
Robert invited us to speak tonight on the radio, and we're waiting in front of the 7-Eleven.
Oh, boy. Robert is here in the studio talking to you, and Robert has dashed to the studio without you. But don't give up hope.
Okay.
We'll get you into the studio. Just sit tight.
Okay, cool.
Don't go away. I'll be down there to pick you up and bring you over to our secret location.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, and sorry about
Bye.
That.
Okay.
All righty. So what I'm going to do now, while I correct that embarrassing error, is to put on a little, well, I'm going to, having played Phil Oakes, I'm going to play you some interviews that I think are ear-worthy. I got a lot of them, actually. I've kind of had a backlog. So let me begin here. Actually, I think I'm going to go a little out of order and play it safe here. Though this is something I intended to play on Saturday, or I should say on Sunday, when the show comes back, full force, 3.5 hours long often. Sometimes it's longer, occasionally it's shorter. In the morning, when I come back at 9:30, I was going to play you the Downtown City Council, or the City actually, Downtown Association's City Council, yes. Downtown Association brings you the Santa Cruz City Council. It's actually got, I don't know how many merchants on it, what, Emily Riley, Ryan Coonerty, Cynthia Matthews. I'm even going to call Mike Rodkin a merchant. I don't know, it's hard to say. All merchants of piddle, actually, in the main as far as civil rights issues locally go. But they had a council meeting on Tuesday, and they talked about, on item 17, they talked about the parking lot panic law, as I call it, the law that sees a surge in crime rates and a serious problem in our parking lots and garages that requires removing everybody from them all the time unless they're parking a vehicle, and then they have to hustle away after 15 minutes. Quite a severe draconian law. I've talked about it on the air before. But now I'm going to let you hear the city council talk about it some more, and I will be back to discuss it. They're going to be saying lots of things that I'm going to be disagreeing with, but for once I will be holding my peace because I won't be here for a moment or two anyway while I go to pick up my guests. And I will return, and then if people have calls and comments, please call in. In about 10 minutes, you'll be able to hear more and say more. Stay with me. This is the Santa Cruz City Council meeting, item 17, afternoon agenda. Don't bother to actually put it at a time when people can actually come conveniently, but leave it till the end of the afternoon agenda. That's Cynthia back to two-minute Matthews. She only allowed 2 minutes per speaker, although there were a considerable number of speakers on item 17. Here it is, a law that makes it criminal to use what has traditionally been a public space, parking lots, and garages, unless you're parking a vehicle or bike, and then only for 15 minutes. Here we go.
Is consideration of an ordinance for publication regarding the use of downtown parking lots and garages. And Matt, I think you will give us the staff report.
Sure. You can do that next time.
Good afternoon, Mayor Matthews and council members. Matt Farrell, Parking Programs Manager, City of Santa Cruz.
Could I just interrupt briefly? I just want to announce to the public, we did get a revised version of the staff report. I'll put that on the record, some somewhat minor corrections to some of the data you'd given us.
I was going to talk about that a little bit.
Okay,
in
fine.
Staff report also. I wanted to give council a little background on this staff report. This is a staff report largely driven by a concern on the part of the Public Works Department about security in our garages and surface parking lots downtown. And over the years, we've taken a number of steps to try and improve security in the garages, including installing cameras in the garages, in our surface lots and downtown garages. We've worked with the police department on targeted vehicle patrols in those garages and lots. We also, for a while, were hiring community service officers to do security in the garages and to help give a presence in the garages. And there is a problem with retaining community service officers and the lead time in training them. So while that worked for about a year, we ended up determining with the police department that it was going to be hard to keep these CSOs working in our parking facilities. And we then moved to adding additional parking control maintenance workers in the evenings in our garages with two main goals: to have a presence in the garage in the evening and to provide nighttime maintenance for both the facilities and the public restrooms downtown, because we took over that control from a private janitorial service with those additional maintenance persons. We started to have discussions with our parking control maintenance staff about issues that were developing in our garages and surface lots. And the proposal before you today is a result of those conversations. It's not a result of any particular strategy developed at the management level. It's a result of conversations with the people out there who are trying to take care of our facilities. What our people had done is they had been logging their problems for the first half of 2005. We tabulated those service calls or problems that they determined that they logged in their records. And they had, between January and the end of June in 2005, 88 problems in the parking lots. And 66 of those calls, about 75% of those calls, related to categories that were also reflected by later service call reports or calls for service reports that were done by the police department. For our maintenance people, the four main problems that they had were suspicious persons in the facilities, camping in the facilities, skateboarding in the facilities, and misuse of the public restrooms. As part of bringing this item to the Downtown Commission, we asked the police department to do a survey of calls for service in our public garages. They focused on the four downtown garages. For the whole calendar year of 2005, there were 591 service calls. And of those, about 34% of those calls in the garages fit the top four categories of crimes. Now, that does not mean that those were the only crime categories in those calls for service, but these were the top four categories of those 591 calls. Those calls in the police records for the garages were for camping, burglaries, suspicious persons, and disturbing the peace. So some overlap, but some difference in the distribution of calls based on the police service. Finally, in response to requests from the Downtown Commission at their meetings in January and March, we asked the police department to do a review of calls for service in our parking lots. They reviewed four downtown parking lots, and they found that, again, there was a similar level of call for service in the year 2005, 508 calls for service. Now, those calls for service, only 13% of those calls qualified as top four category, you know, crimes or types of offenses, potential offenses. And those four top categories of crimes on the surface lots were disturbing the peace was the primary call, petty theft was second, suspicious persons, and burglaries was fourth. The big difference between the garages and the surface lots in the calls for service was there were very few camping violations in the calls for service or camping category issues in the calls for service at the surface lots, which is kind of a logical issue because it's not covered like the garages. So based on this kind of data, we asked the city attorney to help us define an ordinance after discussion with our staff to talk about the proper use of parking lots. Basically, under the concept of time, place, and manner, the city attorney returned with an ordinance that is reflected in the city of Santa Barbara. They have a similar ordinance that limits the use of parking lots to the parking of vehicles. And the difference is that we also called out that the parking of bicycles was permitted in the lot, and we set a 10-minute time limit for parking vehicles. The Downtown Commission held two meetings on this, one where public comment was held, and the second meeting where the commission deliberated. They had two major concerns that came out in their deliberations. The first was a concern about the issue of whether the ordinance was warranted in both the parking garages and the surface lots. And their second concern was over the time limit issue. So the commission made a number of recommendations in their meeting that was held in March, and those proposals were to increase the time limit in the ordinance from 10 to 15 minutes, to basically include a verbal warning in police policy, to develop a plan to gather data and evaluate this ordinance over a 12-month period, and to ask that that evaluation be monitored and managed by the Downtown Improvement Task Force. The commission stated its qualified support for surface lots because they did not have the police department data. We weren't able to provide it in time for their March meeting. That was developed after it was considered by the commission. And finally, they encouraged that adopting this ordinance balance the issue of safety and civil liberties. There are a number of commissioners here today who will probably speak to you about this item. The proposal before you reflects a number of changes that were, and also in the packet you have comments from the American Civil Liberties, the local chapter, Civil Liberties Union, and they're here also today. We have brought forward some modifications in the proposed ordinance to you today. We have adopted the proposed change of the commission from 10 to 15 minutes. We have clarified that the ordinance only applies to downtown lots and garages, not to other public lots in the city of Santa Cruz. We have included a warning provision under the ordinance. It's now codified. It's not simply an issue of police department policy. The city attorney also recommended that we include a section that allows pedestrians to use the parking lots as a way to cross between different sidewalks bordering the facility, as well as access businesses that front on that parking lot. And finally, based on concerns about some activities that occur on the perimeter of parking garages, most notably the garage at Church and Cedar Street, we've allowed the designated speech-related areas in parking lots and garages so that people could still do street performing as happens on Church Street at the north side of the Church and Cedar garage. There are personnel from the police department here. Should you have any questions about data, and be happy to answer any questions the council may have.
Thanks.
Thanks
for questions.
Much.
Okay. Thanks a lot. At this point, then we'll open it to comment from the public. Can I get a rough idea of how many people want to speak? Just raise your hands. We'll count here.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
12, 13, 14, 15. Yeah, hands keep coming up. Well, then I'm going to say 2 minutes. That'll take us almost till 6, and then we'll have some time to take action. Thanks.
Hello, Leslie Scanagata with SEIU. This issue is very important. This is a worker issue. And I'm here on behalf of the workers that are exposed to what's happening in those garages every day. One of the workers this morning, her name's Gabby. She showed up today at 5 o'clock this morning to open up one of the garages, and a homeless man got on all fours and started masturbating in front of her. This is a regular occurrence for them. We have two female staff that open the garages at 5 in the morning by themselves. They have been chased after, verbally assaulted. At times, they can't get out of their vehicle. They said that mostly there's a lot of camping. They're cleaning up daily. These workers who are maintenance workers that are opening up garages are cleaning up feces. This is not acceptable. You know, some of these people behind you are probably going to address and say that this is an anti-homeless ordinance. This is not true. This is a worker safety ordinance. This is making sure that, you know, the garages are safe. We have parking attendants that leave at night by themselves as well. You know, if we're supporting, I don't think that supporting homeless is supporting people whacking off in public places. That's not acceptable, and I sure hope that you don't support that. Not only is it not just a homeless problem in there, but it is also, there's tailgate parties in the summer, bicycles are being ripped off. Our workers report actually seeing the bicycles, people taking up parts, repainting them, and taking them away. You know, they are calling the police, but, you know, this is their world every day. I have a worker who's worked here 6 years, and she said that it's becoming totally intolerable. So please pass this ordinance and protect your workers. Thank you.
Thanks.
My name is Caroline Lipuma Wiener. Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. Martin Luther King Jr. said that. I object to the downtown parking lots law, which outlaws taking shelter from the rain. I said that. Our beautiful city has gone the way of much of America. Whether it's a question of dogs off leash on the beach, people with cigarettes in a park, disaffected youth from beach flats looking at a bleak future, Tent University on campus, a parade on Pacific Avenue, or unsightly poor people. Whatever the question, the answer inevitably involves people who wear uniforms and carry guns. If all you've got is a hammer, everything starts looking like a nail. In every country in the world where corporate interests dominate the political process, the streets are crowded with the destitute. America is no exception. And the abjectly poor are the easiest nail to hit. Since humans have walked upright, it has been generally acknowledged that basic necessities of survival include protection from the elements and access to fire. Science tells us that sleep deprivation leads to critical psychological distress. City ordinances against camping, building a fire, and sleeping already criminalize both survival and mental health. The addition of this new torment, Municipal Code 9.64, starts making Jim Crow look humane. If impoverished persons were to abide by all the laws of Santa Cruz, they would surely die, and they do. About 40 people
Your
die on the
up.
Street every year.
And, of course, I wanted to hear more, but Cynthia Matthews said that this speaker's time was up. You're listening to the Santa Cruz City Council's afternoon session, the discussion of the proposed 15 minutes and get the fuck out of the parking lot garage. And that's just not just to the homeless, that's to the entire community. Law being proposed mainly by Ryan Coonerty and Cynthia Matthews, as I gather it, though indeed eventually it was passed 5-1 at its first reading. It comes back April 25th for a second reading at the Santa Cruz City Council. Now, as I said, I was really disappointed not to be able to hear more of this speaker. This was a woman who was on a walker. She seemed to be somewhat a poor person, I would say. She was not dressed in the most fashionable clothing. She smelled fine, as far as I was concerned. And so imagine my surprise when, well, the guests I have in the studio are, in fact, two of the people who showed up at City Council. And one of them is Dove, also known as Catherine. Also in the studio with me is Don, to discuss, well, you're going to complete, Dove, what you were saying up there. But you also hopefully, when you've done that or before, whenever you want to, talk about your whole, you know, blow by blow, and I don't mean, you know, masturbating type blows, but blow by blow impression of the City Council's meeting. Go ahead.
My name is Dove. I'm a psychedelic relic, and I was on the street for 12 years. And since December of 2001, I've had housing, and I spent a lot of that time recovering from the prior 12 years. And I heard about the, I actually received the handout that Huff put out about the parking lots law.
All right.
And I went ballistic. I felt like this was the most incredible cruelty that I could imagine, that people couldn't even get in out of the rain. It seems just incredible meanness to me. And so I decided to go to the City Council meeting and make a statement about it. And I went to the City Council meeting, and I really participated. I actively listened for 2.5 hours to what was going on at the City Council meeting.
That's what where they made us wait for 2.5 hours until this item came up, though most of us, I think most of us in the room were there for that item, although maybe there was another large item, too, afterward. I don't recall there was.
No.
I don't think so.
That was the last thing they did. And I sat there for 2.5 hours and actively listened and totally participated. And I actually, every single one of those City Council people had caught my eye and addressed remarks to me, because it was clear that most people in the room, most people in the room were distracted in one way or another. And when you have someone who's actually listening, it really, you can feel it. And they did.
You were in the second row, as I remember, right?
I was in the second row because I found out that the line forms on the right. I'm disabled. I use a walker. So I wanted to, like, capture my place in line so that I didn't have to stand in a line for a long time, because I can't do that. And I listened. And then all of a sudden, the tenor of the meeting changed. From actually conducting business, however tediously, all of a sudden the tenor of the of what was going on changed, and suddenly they were playing verbal ping pong for 15 minutes. And I realized that this was the cue for the first class citizens to leave the room. Because I'm watching, as they're playing verbal ping pong, I'm watching the room clear. And by the time they were done wasting time, the people that were left in the room were a bunch of poor people, the cops, and the city council.
What do you mean by verbal ping pong? Can you describe how that, how your sense of that was? What did it involve?
Well, I was as I said, I was actively listening to the city council meeting as it happened, and while it was slow, everything that they said and did built and progressed on the thing before it. They didn't allow it to backslide. And then they reached a point about 15, 20 minutes before we were scheduled to speak. And then they were talking in circles.
Do you remember what they were talking about? Actually, I have the tape here, but I don't know.
You know, I don't even remember the topic. It was a non-topic that nobody cared about. And I don't even remember the topic, because it the quality of the communications changed so dramatically for me that my attention switched to, well, what is this? Oh, it's a signal that the first class citizens are supposed to leave the room. Hmm. And I see this exodus, the people who were there for the SoCal corner. Everybody leaves as soon as this verbal ping pong starts.
So I'm looking at the agenda. There was items 13, a revision to traffic impact fees, 14, SoCal Capitola intersection
safety.
It was
the one after that.
And then the consultant selection process for the minimum wage economic study.
That one.
And finally, there was a Parks and Recreation Commission appointment, but I think that was very brief.
Yeah. Yeah, during that one, where it was a done deal, and it was clear it was a done deal, and this ping pong game happened during that discussion. And all the first class citizens cleared the room. And it was, I was amazed, you know. I was so amazed that by this time, you know, and it also appeared to me that that up until that moment, they actually thought, I felt like I was, you know, like included in the process and considered a citizen. And then as soon as the verbal ping pong started and it became clear that I was there to speak to the parking garage ordinance, I felt like I got dumped into third class steerage.
You know, I agree with you about the item 17, you know, how they treated 17. It was a done deal as far as I was concerned. I think as far as 15 went, the minimum wage economic study, it was primarily a situation where there are a couple members of the council that want to see the minimum wage law put into effect. I think that's Porter and Fitzmaurice. Riley has jumped ship on that one, and the rest of the council is very pro-business. They don't want to raise the minimum wage, or they have a lot of doubts about it. They won't put it on the ballot themselves, and as you heard, there's an initiative coming up around that issue, and they want to they initially, I think this consultant study about the whole thing was a way of trying to hold off the initiative by those who were critics of it. But now that they're not sure that they're going to get enough signatures, they figure they don't even want to spend the money on that. So I didn't see it as any kind of a – I may have missed this in a ping pong you had. I just – and I wasn't listening to it that closely, but when they got to item 17 and you heard this long – to me, tediously familiar and rather unenlightening staff report from Matt Farrell, who's the parking lot person, one of the people who, he told me the law was cooked up by police officers on the beat and parking lot workers. And I can believe it. You know, they're trying to protect their own interests. And I think it's a rather peculiarly severe way, which really impacts the public. It's like, I don't know, trying to stop people from, causing problems in a museum by shutting the museum down 364 days of the year or something. I mean, it's a way of, and you might say, well, no, parking lots are intended for parking lot, you know, parking vehicles and garage and bicycles. And that's true, certainly. But you also have to consider what the parking lots have traditionally been used for in terms of the general spirit of Santa Cruz. That's been my feeling. And that hasn't been considered in any meaningful way by the Downtown Commission, by Matt Farrell, and certainly not by the Santa Cruz City Council. I mean, it was all just, it rolled right forward. But you also told me that this Leslie, the first speaker, I can never remember her last name, Scanagotti or Scalaguni or some such thing. I think she's the SEIU rep, the Service Employees International Union person. And a nastier speech I have not heard in some time. And also a speech, frankly, I think full of, well, you used the phrase that I hadn't thought of. It didn't occur to me, but it's quite obvious. It's on the cover of the March issue of Street Spirit. It talks about hate crimes and hate speech. That was hate speech, you were saying.
It was amazing. I had sat there in that second row for 2.5 hours, claiming my spot in line. And all of the poor people in the room respected that and realized that I had been sitting there and waiting and that I used the walker and that I had claimed that place, and they deferred to me. And the only person who didn't defer to me to let a crippled woman go first was the person who was filled with hate speech.
And who was too busy to wait to hear any of the other speakers, as I remember.
Absolutely.
I don't recall that she stayed.
She ran out immediately.
Right.
She ran out the door.
And she didn't ask your permission to step in front of you?
No.
Yeah, see, that's the person that needs to be called on her speech. And, of course, Councilmember Fitzmaurice would tell me I'd be breaking decorum by going, Sieg Heil, to the speaker. But that's the kind of nasty crap that you would have heard, I would say, Nazi Germany rallies about Jews and so forth. I found it to be false. If you look at the reports of the parking lot attendance from January to June of 2005, which are attached to the City Council agenda and came from the Downtown Commission, you'll find, I think it's 5 to 10 or less instances in a six-month period in all four parking lot garages of cleaning up feces. Now, maybe they didn't write them all down. It's possible. Or maybe the issue is keeping the bathrooms open at night, which they don't do, of course, after 10 o'clock. You know, and there aren't that many bathrooms anyway. There are two of them, as far as I know of, in two of the parking lot structures. So that may be an issue, too. But also I found myself thinking that this Leslie is supposed to represent workers. And that workers includes homeless workers, includes in-home care workers who are taking care of, some of whom are homeless themselves, who are being significantly impacted by this law. Not only does she ignore them, as the City Council does, and as the Downtown Commission fundamentally did, but she also abuses them, stigmatizes them, lies about them, encourages the community to hate them.
Absolutely.
Masturbators on four, this homeless masturbator, this, you know, I mean, it's just, yeah, it's
subhuman.
Yeah, I mean, it's frankly, I think she should be called to account for it at the SEIU. I think persons should be able to say what they want. But then having said what they want, people should acknowledge, should say, well, okay, this is the kind of person you got. And there should be some kind of maybe protest about this issue. Of course, the problem is that in a way, she is saying what is really the mentality behind this ordinance. So maybe we should thank her for
bringing it out into the open.
Being so upfront.
Yeah, being so upfront. So I walked toward the podium, and I was curious when I saw the exodus of the first-class citizens. I was curious to know whether the Sentinel reporter had stayed. So as I'm walking toward the podium, I look toward the look toward the corner to see if the Sentinel reporter, and what I see are two menacing looking cops just out of range of the camera. And as soon as I looked at them, they put their hands on their guns. Here I am, a middle-aged, obviously unarmed, crippled woman. Could I possibly in any universe be a threat to these big burly men? And they put their hands on their guns. I was shocked. I was really shocked. I haven't been to a city council meeting in a long time. I kind of gave up on them at some point. And I decided to go because I'm feeling better now and I feel like I have a little more perspective on my experience on the street. And I feel like I can speak to what's going on. And their hostility was palpable, the hostility of the city council. I felt like my voice was being pushed back into my body. I didn't know how physical a thing that is to have your political voice silenced. I experienced my voice being pushed back into my body. And I quaveringly managed to speak. When I just heard it now, I was like, gee, that sounded better than it sounded from inside me.
I thought it sounded great. And I know that one of the things I wanted you to do, and keep on with your account, is I want you to finish that speech. Although, of course, you're going to be finishing, I imagine, in a more leisurely manner, you know, throughout
the
program.
Can I take it from the top?
Sure.
Would that be okay with you?
Sure, you can speak again from the top. By the way, you're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM and www.freakradio.org. The call-in number here, in case you want to talk to Don and Dove, is 427-3772. And I want to remind you that after this show is over at 8:15 at the Cedar Street Parking Garage, in these few declining weeks where we have the freedom to use these garages as the public spaces that for the last 25 or 30 years they have been used as, you will be delighted to hear, or at least I was pleased to hear, that there's going to be a Flim Flam Film Festival tonight. That is to say, a festival involving many films which cover repressive laws in Santa Cruz. And it's being done by sponsored by the Santa Cruz Guerrilla Theater, which does it just finished, I guess, its winter season or its spring season or it's one of its seasons, and it's now going to be moving on to another season. But this is just a special event because Rico Thunder, who has acquired some notoriety for getting the goods on Deputy Chief Vogel in the DIY last night parade, when Vogel, of course, spied on the parade or got people to spy on the parade, peaceful political parade, infiltrated the parade. And then when trying to be held to account, he declared an investigation and investigated himself. He declared himself the investigator to investigate himself. And he's, you know, this issue, of course, is still being ignored by the city council. What could one expect? They're sitting on their seats waiting for this whole issue to go away. And the problem, of course, is that so many of us have so many other things to do that it may well go away. In fact, maybe it's already gone away. I don't know. But the Flim Flam Film Festival hasn't, and it will be happening tonight at 8:15, Cedar Street Garage. Come on down. Bring your own popcorn. Bring your own chair. Bring a blanket. Don't anticipate any problems from authorities, but you never can tell. With Pam Bechtel on the loose, you never know what's going to happen. Actually, I think Pam goes off at 6. I'm not quite sure when she goes off. She's the CSO with the hungry ticket book that I have got countless stories about. And you'll be hearing some more of those tonight or possibly Sunday on Sunday morning when I come back to do another longer version of the show. But, Dove, why don't you go ahead and you want to give your speech or you want to make some other comments first? What do you want to do?
Well, what I wanted to say is this, that I was faced with the 10 people on the city council and the two cops.
7 on the city council, the city manager, the city attorney, and the city clerk.
And I, right. And I'm facing a dozen people, 2 of whom are heavily armed, who are trying to silence my voice. And I felt so satisfied that in the time that I did have, I spoke truth to power, and it felt good.
It sounded good. But now you can speak some more truth, and now you can speak truth to the powerless,
right.
So to speak. But we're not really powerless, folks. Keep that in mind.
As it were. Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. Martin Luther King Jr. said that. I object to the downtown parking lots law which outlaws taking shelter from the rain. I said that. Our beautiful city has gone the way of much of America. whether it's a question of dogs off leash on the beach, people with cigarettes in the park, disaffected youth from beach flats looking at a bleak future, Tent University on campus, a parade on Pacific Avenue, or unsightly poor people. Whatever the question, the answer inevitably involves people who wear uniforms and carry guns. If all you've got is a hammer, everything starts looking like a nail. In every country in the world where corporate interests dominate the political process, the streets are crowded with the destitute. America is no exception. And the abjectly poor are the easiest nail to hit. Since humans have walked upright, it has been generally acknowledged that basic necessities of survival include protection from the elements and access to fire. Science tells us that sleep deprivation leads to critical psychological distress. City ordinances against camping, building a fire, and sleeping already criminalize both survival and mental health. The addition of this new torment, Municipal Code 9.64, starts making Jim Crow look humane. If impoverished persons were to abide by all the laws of Santa Cruz, they would surely die. And they do. About 40 people die on the streets of Santa Cruz every year. With the passage of this ordinance, that number will rise dramatically. A variety of reasons appears on their death certificates, and everyone on the street knows the real causes of death: exposure and exhaustion and despair. A mosaic in the Metro proclaims, "World peace begins with human dignity." World peace hasn't a prayer of gaining traction in Santa Cruz when the very least of dignities, that of taking cover from the rain, is denied its citizens.
As I did at the City Council as well. If you want to call in and talk with Dove and Don, and I'm Robert here, you can. 427-3772 is the phone number. If you want to listen to this later because you're rushing off to do something else, you can do that too. It's archived at www.huffsantacruz, all one word, huffsantacruz.org. All these shows are archived, usually. Sometimes it takes a couple days for them to show up on the website. And there also are interesting articles, most of them a bit out of date, but they're also, unfortunately, strangely relevant because the situation doesn't seem to get better. It just seems to get worse, at least in terms of institutionalized hate crimes, as this law exemplifies. Institutionalized hate crime. What I'm going to do now is, while I'm waiting for the flood of calls to come in, rather than play the stuff that you and I, the three of us, heard, many of you out there who went to the City Council meeting or watched it on TV may have already heard, I'm going to play some other street interviews, which you probably haven't heard. In fact, I'm positive you haven't heard, although you probably have heard similar stuff. And I'm going to ask my guests, Don and Deb, if they feel like commenting, they can. If you feel like commenting, you can call in, and we can take it from there. I'm going to probably play the rest of this City Council meeting on Sunday morning, because frankly, I don't really want to sit through it again at this time. I'm willing to. I think it's a document. I mean, one of the reasons I do these shows is to archive them so that people, if they at some point can go back and listen to them. I don't know who would want to, but that's really a very good point. Still, that's what I do. Let's hear some new stuff now. And before we do, let's hear a little musical melancholia from one of my favorite melancholics, Phil Oakes.
Thank you. Yes, I even killed my brothers and so many others, but I ain't marching anymore. For I march to the battles of the German trench in a war that was bound to end all wars. Oh, I must have killed a million men and now they want me back again, but I ain't marching anymore. It's always the old to lead us to the war. Always the young to fall. Now look at all we've won with a saber and a gun. Tell me, is it worth it all? For I flew the final mission in the Japanese sky, set off the mighty mushroom rock. When I saw the cities burning, I knew that I was learning that I ain't marching anymore. They close the missile plant. United Fruit screams at the Cuban shore. Call it peace or call it treason. Call it love or call it reason. But I ain't marching anymore.
And that's a song that the SAFE, Society for Artistic Freedom and Expression, singers sing every so often at their Wednesday weekly Fuck the Downtown Ordinance sing-along that they have in front of the New Leaf Market in that general area between those two green kiosks downtown. Those who are listening may sense a certain hostility here that I have toward these abusive laws, and indeed, you're right. I'm really continue to be upset by them, and you're going to hear why, because they aren't just sort of theoretical statements of principle, or as staff member Matt Farrell writes in his staff report about the downtown parking lots and garages, simply a clarification of how the garages are to be used. They are blows and barriers, and they're actually weapons against people, and they're things that have significant impact on and help to further impoverish their lives. Not the people with the fancy cars, but even those people. I mean, I think it impoverishes the life of a person if they feel like they can't read a book in their car in the parking lot, where they've already paid money to sit in the car in the parking lot. I'm sorry, it's interesting. I believe the Santa Barbara law is quoted as being one of the precedents for this law. And I heard recently also Berkeley has some kind of a parking law, too. I haven't got the exact details of the Berkeley law, but I'm going to try to get that. I'm going to go online, actually, and look it over here while we're on during the show. But the Santa Barbara law does not say anything about having to leave within 15 minutes. It simply states the purpose of a parking lot is parking, and you can't do anything but park your car. Now, if you're parking your car and you're sitting in it, I doubt that the Santa Barbara police are going to arrest you or tell you to move on. But this is exactly what this law tells the Santa Cruz police and their little snitchy friends in the parking lot attendant community to do. It is unseemly, it is unfair, it is unnecessary, it is futile in some respects, and I think it degrades everybody under the pretext of improving the security of vulnerable women going into parking garages. And you're a vulnerable woman. What do you think about this? Let's talk about that from the woman's point of view. Let me be the devil's advocate for a moment here. Don't you want women to feel safer in parking lots and garages? Don't you think that they'd feel safer if there was men weren't lurking there, just hanging out, waiting to do cocaine deals and reassemble stolen bikes and whip out their dick and do a little, look at me sort of thing, or just leaving trash and needles around? Don't you have some sympathy for that? Don't you want to see things cleaned up?
I want to see fairness for people. I want to see people in, when I go into a parking lot, I connect with people. I connect with people regardless of how poor they seem to be. And that is really the standard. People feel threatened by people who are poorer than they are, because I think they feel those people have some kind of right to be mad at them or something. And it always shakes out the same way. No matter how it looks, it's the poor people who are the ones who keep getting segregated. And they keep segregating us and segregating us, you know. When I gave my statement, I compared the laws to Jim Crow, because that's what the laws are. They constantly have the effect of segregating people. And I looked up online some Jim Crow laws, and the remarkable similarity to Jim Crow laws and local ordinances against street people blew my mind, and that's why I put that line in there. And I said it makes Jim Crow look humane, because apparently under Jim Crow, getting in out of the rain was one of the few exceptions in a few places.
Really? Interesting. But again, I don't disagree with you, but again, taking the position of the concerned parking lot attendants and the concerned council member Ryan Coonerty, who's been the big pusher behind this. He's the one who pushed the downtown commission to hold two special unprecedented meetings a week apart before the last city council meeting, and then it got, even they couldn't agree on what they were going to do, so they had to, it had to wait until this April 11th meeting 2 days ago. By the way, Don, if you want to say something, feel free to jump in here at any point. Don't let this woman push you around.
With her walker. Yeah, I wanted to comment on this, because the events at City Hall seem to follow a pattern, and Robert was talking about the pattern of a fascist government, and it seems as though the city council, in terms of foreign policy, not supporting the war, wanting peace, in terms of foreign policy, is very radically liberal. However, in terms of domestic policy, very, very draconian. The words Jim Crow laws, I think, are particularly apt, because we've been on the street for 12 years. Both of us are well-educated, skilled people. It was just hard to get off the street. And one of the things we discovered was the jobs which were available in exchange for room and board also included a sort of a tacit understanding, that the homeless people were less than and therefore could be treated as slaves, if you will. People can be wonderfully good intentioned, I think, in their rationalizations. However, if it's a Sunday in Santa Cruz and it's raining very hard and you have no money, there is no place to go to stay dry. The library is closed. The vets have been thrown out of the vets hall because they couldn't pay the rent. These are the guys, the same people who want these laws. They were heroes when they were in Vietnam, perhaps, and now they're kicked out of the vets hall. There seems to be, from my eyes anyway, a national and an international trend to make poor people poorer and ideally homeless. You know, from Darfur to the Israelis bulldozing Palestine communities. This creates homeless people. And another thought about the lady who was confronted by a gentleman and is all together. That sounds so much to me like the Gulf of Tonkin, which never occurred. It sounds like the weapons of mass destruction. And the most famous, Willie Horton, if anyone remembers him, he was a fellow that Michael Dukakis paroled, and he went out and sadly enough he raped somebody. And Lee Atwater told George Bush I, that's your ticket, scare them all, show them a picture of a big black fellow who's going to rape their white daughter. Tell us about the homeless person on all fours. I don't believe that happened. I don't know.
Even if it did happen, you know, it seems to me that there are currently laws that exist that deal with problems like that. I mean, now, I'm trying to, again, make the devil's case here, because I believe this is, frankly, a diabolic law in terms of the kinds of consequences it will have. You know, the argument is that there are car burglaries, there is vandalism, there is trash and litter, and there is perennial illegal camping in these structures. And while it's true there are laws against all these things, you often cannot find someone in the act of doing this, and so either, you know, hold them accountable, if you will, okay? However, you can certainly tell somebody that they can't be in the parking lot unless they have a vehicle. And if they are in a vehicle, you can start giving them the old 15-minute watcheroo by saying they have to be gone. And that way, what you can do is you can make such behavior less likely. Now, I'm wondering about that in some respects, because I think that less eyes in a parking lot may mean less security for those who use it. On the other hand, it may mean also that people who are lingering around to hassle may not have as much opportunity. Let's be fair about that, too. However, I don't lose my way here. The real issue is, what, you know, did people sit down and look over the alternatives as to what was really going on? Because we didn't get any, we still haven't got the statistics for the parking lots and garages in any meaningful way. We know how many calls for service there were. There are 541 calls for service in the parking garages. There are 508 calls for service in four parking lots. And there are, I think, 19 parking lots, not counting the parking garages downtown. But of these calls for service, only 67 of the 508 involved criminal or even suspicious behavior for which a police report was filled out. And of the, there are more such reports in the parking garages. Of the 541, I think it's 144 are, you know, instances of citations or police reports or something. But one has to consider that's over four lots, four parking garages, over 365 days. So in the one case, you have 144 incidents in four lots over a whole year. Now, I don't know, because the police didn't tell me, is that a large number of incidents for the entire downtown? Now, they said subjectively, and I'm not saying they're necessarily lying or not even, you know, making mistakes with their data, that it is. But they didn't give us the figures that said, here's the general downtown area, and here's the crime scene throughout the downtown area. Look at the spike in the parking lot area. They didn't give us those figures. They didn't say, here's the parking lot in 2005, and here it is in 2004. Look at the increase. We didn't see that either. All we saw was parking lot attendants have a problem. And I'll grant that if I were a parking lot attendant, I would consider it to be a problem. Sure, I don't like cleaning up this shit, but even at $17 an hour and with full benefits, I might not like it, you know. I'm not saying, I don't know, actually, I was told it was $70 an hour. I don't know if that's actually accurate. But that was what one skeptic said, you know, they can't even clean up, you know, they're moaning and bitching with that kind of rate, getting that kind of money. I said, well, let's consider their problems. But the idea is, should the entire city, and we're not just talking about the homeless, the entire city, anybody who parks a car, have to give up their liberty and their privacy and their ability to relax in their vehicle just so certain parking lot attendants can feel more comfortable? And the answer to me is, you got to prove it to me. I mean, you know, I might buy it if I got enough data, but this thing is being rammed through at such a speed and with so little documentation that I don't buy it.
Also, the only thing that's in it that wasn't actually against the law before is taking cover from the rain and sitting in your car. Those are the two things that they changed, you know, with this thing. You know, there are laws already for everything that could possibly happen there.
Yeah, I really think that fear-mongering is at the heart of this. You know, we're living in such shaky times. The government is creating wars, fear-mongering. People are afraid when they walk down the street. Maybe they're not making enough money. Maybe they can't make their mortgage payment. Maybe they've been staring at a computer all day. They see something unusual on the street, out of the ordinary. A homeless person may be a little unruly. They feel a little scared. Ah, that's what they're scared of. And let's all agree that we are scared of some poor, undernourished guy sleeping, because the only place he can find shelter is a garage, and the city council wants to take that away from him. Well, you know, one of our experiences, my experience with Caroline's experiences in Santa Cruz, is that people who self-identify so often as liberals, it is so easy for them to help a starving person 5,000 miles away. If you want to help somebody, walk out onto Lincoln Street or Cedar Street or go where the ragged people go.
You know, it's also true that I actually wrote a flyer that talked about 40 strikes against the homeless, 40 strikes against the parking lot panic law, as I call it. And it's I'm going to be distributing it tonight. I'm going to be speaking tonight, too, after this radio show, for those of you who want to see me in person, possibly even in my famous bathrobe, hence the name Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides on this show's title. Again, at the Flim Flam Film Festival at 8:15 in the Cedar Street parking lot garage, while it's still open to the public, you see. I mean, you know, it's really important to look at this and to consider, you know, I mean, again, Ann Simonton, a Free Radio Santa Cruz broadcaster and a Media Watch person who writes all kinds of good stuff and does all kinds of important work about safety for women, supports this law. At least that's the last thing I heard. And I couldn't get her on the show to talk about why. And, you know, I got an email from her that if one woman is saved from rape by this law, then it's great. What do you think of that argument? You're a woman. You don't want to be raped in these parking lots and garages. You've got friends who probably have been raped, right?
I don't know anybody personally who was raped in any of these parking lots or garages.
But elsewhere, you know people.
And I'm certainly concerned about that.
But you know people who have been molested, raped, and assaulted. And
yes.
Is Santa Cruz a safe scene for women? What's your feeling?
Yes, I believe it is. It is. It is adequately safe. I think any place could always be safer for women. I do feel that. And I think that the way to make it safe doesn't have to involve people with uniforms and guns. I think that ways to make it safe have to do with reaching out to people and to making it possible for people to have a safe bathroom to visit in the middle of the night if you're homeless. Where do you go? There is no place, you know, a safe place where they can camp. That you mean that with all the money that, you know, all the money that Santa Cruz spends on so-called homeless programs, which really don't seem to be very effective at getting people off the street, with that money they could rent campsites for enough people to actually have a tent and a campsite and a fire to burn and a way to manage community.
But then they might be masturbating regularly. You got to be careful about that, right?
So much of this is about fear, I think. And I want to reframe what Robert said. Are the chances greater of a woman being raped? And let's take this drastic example used to scare people. Are the chances greater of a woman being raped in the garage or some tramp dying of exposure over this time period? Knowing many tramps who've died of exposure and despair and inattention, I think those odds are probably better. And it bothers me that even in a community that prides itself on saying we're against the war and we want to help the poor, the hungry, and the starving. I come back to my same point. They're in Santa Cruz. Maybe if the frightened parking lot cleaner brought a bag of sandwiches with her, gave them to the fella, and said, look, I got to clean the place, get out of here for a while. Huh?
Well, you know, I think I don't think it's that simple. I think you have a situation where there is a situation of tension and conflict created, resentment and bitterness by people who are on the street. There's also a huge drug problem. There's a meth problem. There's a crack problem. You know, there's a problem of, you know, I mean, I was actually surprised at the limited number of car burglaries that they were able to, that were documented in the parking lots and garages. I think it was 9 in all 4 parking lots of the 4 of the 19 studied throughout the year in 2005. I know I talked to a friend who told me that she had had her car broken into, and she didn't report it. So she said, so obviously, maybe we can figure there's a larger number of unreported crimes, too.
Right.
But, you see, I think my question is, does the community... I don't hear the community crying for a parking lot panic law. I really don't. I think this was cooked up. I don't think they called for the sleeping ban. I don't think they called for closing the parks at night. I don't think they called for closing the riverbed at night. I don't think they called for making it illegal to hacky sack downtown. Some people did, but I don't think the majority of the community did. I don't think the community called for these things. These are laws pushed by special interest groups. Now, it is always activists of one shape or another that do this, but there's a very powerful special interest group that sits in the middle of Santa Cruz. It's almost hereditary. It's very well funded, and it's headed by city manager for life Dick Wilson, who's been here since 1984. It's the staff. They are entrenched in the city. They don't get voted out at election. The city council feels powerless without them and takes most of their direction from them. And they're fundamentally of a conservative cast. They really are. I mean, you know, they think of themselves as liberal. I talked to John Barrasoni, the city attorney. He thinks of himself as very liberal.
Really?
He's a nice guy, yeah. And probably Dick Wilson thinks of himself as liberal. Maybe he votes Democratic. He always wears this business suit that always unnerves me a bit. But, you know, he's a city manager. Maybe he feels he has to do that. Maybe he just likes business suits. I don't know. But I wonder. I mean, that's why I say, has there been a poll? Has there been any public sampling of do people want this downtown parking lot law, panic law? You know, did people want the no smoking in San Lorenzo Park law that passed? I mean, I don't like smokers. I don't want them around me particularly. I tell them to go away. You know, but I recognize that there's a segment of the population, homeless and non-homeless, that smokes. They're addicted to this fucking nicotine. And the idea, and one of the, you know, I guess one thing you can do is try to, you know, shove them out. And in a way, I kind of would like to see that happen. But in another way, it was clear, for example, to the Parks and Rec Commission that posting no butt parking signs, cigarette butts, that is, all over San Lorenzo Park, which is a huge park and probably the biggest downtown park there is directly targets homeless people who smoke there, who are probably the main group of smokers. Instead of setting up no smoking zones, let's say, in the park around the children's area or, you know, something more reasonable. Instead of discussing the matter, in the final 5 minutes of a Parks and Rec Commission hearing, they rammed this through, brought it to City Council, and just passed it with essentially virtually no discussion whatsoever. I was amazed. The cold wind blew past me after I spoke about the issue. Everything I said was completely ignored by the City Council. They didn't respond to anything. Of course, that's what's new there. You know, nothing new. But it just, does the community want this law, is my question. I mean, we talk about, you know, we chide the community for how they treat homeless people. We chide them for being concerned about people 5,000 miles away but not locally. I don't think the community is calling for this law. I mean, I'm not aware that they are. And I think, well, here's a member of the community. Maybe they're calling for this law. Let's find out. Hi, do you want a law against them bums in the parking lots? What do you think?
Well, am I on the air?
You certainly are.
I just wanted to... Did you get today's Sentinel?
I did, yes.
Okay, there was an insert from Twin Lakes Church. Did you see that?
I didn't. I think I threw away the inserts. I probably should have looked...
Well, you see, because it shows the change of the tone of the town. A message of hope for you at Twin Lakes Church. Lisa Luschner from American Idol is going to be on the agenda. Okay, and bouncing houses for kids, continental breakfast, inspiring message, uplifting. I mean, it's funny if it's, I guess I don't care if I'm insulting somebody. To me, this is insulting. In the name of religion, this is insulting. So people want Vegas. They don't want to be bothered by things. So I think the town is changing, Robert.
Well, I don't know. I mean, is this a conservative church, Twin Lakes Church? I don't know anything about the church, and frankly, I don't know about American Idol. So,
if you've never been to one of these affairs, mega churches, it would be maybe one or two or three mega churches that have several thousand seating in the area.
But I don't think they have had any connection with the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program. Probably,
I would not.
Right.
I
mean, most churches in this community don't give
a
shit about homeless people as far as any kind of active participation in a shelter program. You know, I think that, you know, they will probably have a Christmas dinner, you know, or Thanksgiving dinner, you know.
There's a huge church over the hill, North San Jose, called Jubilee Christian Center, which is this monstrosity that looks like it seats 5,000. And I happened to be in the neighborhood one Sunday morning, maybe 3 months ago. It was very interesting, the crowd that was coming out. And I don't know how to quite say this in polite terms. Maybe there is no polite term to say it. But what I see of the change of society is that people don't want to deal with anything that isn't trivialized in escapism.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I think there's always the tendency to try to get distracted when you're, you know, faced with increasing economic burdens and anxieties, and you feel powerless as a citizen because your, you know, your Führer is going to take you to war whether you like it or not, and you know, the Democrats aren't going to do shit about it either.
Robert, a change in the town? You've been here for quite a while.
Well, you know, I mean, I.
Can I speak to you?
Let me ask Dove here. How long have you been here, Dove?
I've been in Santa Cruz for 20 years.
Well, here, what do you think? The caller is wondering about the change in the town?
Absolutely. The last time I went to a city council meeting, I don't know if you were listening earlier. I was describing my visit to the city council. The last time I went to a city council meeting was a totally different experience. I couldn't believe how much the cops threatened me as I was trying to speak and stuff. I remember going to a city council meeting 15 years ago, and it was certainly a lot more pleasant and certainly not so intense with the cops staring me down.
If you've been to Saratoga, they will pull you over for whatever reason. Cops are patrolling up and down the main street. The tolerance for these kinds of things that many of us maybe assume as a part of the background in Santa Cruz is going away. That tolerance is not there. It's becoming more Saratoga-esque.
Well, let's not let it go without a fight. Thanks for calling in, Bob. Anything you want to add to this?
I'm not sure I disagree with the parking lot ruling. People got uptight. Convertibles were slashed. I mean, I read the Sentinel, right? And I read it with my own style of cynicism, but nonetheless, it reports something.
But you see an increasing.
People react, Robert.
Is there an increasing crime problem that you've observed? Because if there is, why don't they present the statistics for it?
An increasing crime problem. There is spikes in vandalism. There's some vandalism spike up at the university, slashing tires, that kind of stuff.
But I'm talking about in the parking lots and garages.
I don't know the particulars. What I do know is that the tolerance.
See, that's the problem.
If
you don't know
waiting.
The particulars, why support a law giving the police
people
more discretion than people?
They feel paranoid.
Well, I'm talking about you, Bob. I'm talking about people. I mean, you know, why would you support it is the question.
I think to some degree, as I said, people feel paranoid.
But people feel paranoid in Germany. I mean, they should blame the Jews and ship them off to the camps. I mean, it's bullshit.
Now, what is unfortunate about all these rulings is that it infringes upon freedom of speech.
Well, no, I mean, it's not just freedom of speech. It infringes upon survival for poor people, and also upon your right to privacy as an ordinary person who wants to sit in your car and do what you've always done. Well, suddenly you're supposed to march lockstep to the sidewalk because for no justifiable reason in terms of crime stats, they're telling you that, you know, this is to help the parking lot attendants. I mean, come on.
What are we talking about here? As I said, it's a sweep. I think people want Vegas, Robert. They want this clean.
Is that what you want, Bob? I don't care what people. Let's not talk about people. Let's talk about us.
I would like to see certain issues like poverty raised to the surface. But if you look at Darfur, Robert, and you want to look
I'm looking at the parking lot law, and I'm listening to you saying that you support a parking lot law that is ridiculous.
I can see why. I'm not sure whether, had I been on the council, whether I would have voted yay or nay, but I can see why the issue.
I'm asking for your vote now. What's your vote now? Or would you send it back for more research?
I think they probably did a great deal of research. They had pressure from stakeholders, and the edict was declared. The unfortunate aspect of it is, of course, people do get caught, as Ms. Johnson, her phrase, selective enforcement is a reality. It's unfortunate. I think people are uptight, Robert. They don't want to deal with disheveled.
What's unfortunate is that people don't stand up and fight this shit, Bob. And they, I mean,
stand up are the non-property interests. I mean, let's lay it out like it is, Mr. Norris.
Can I jump in for a moment?
Please. Mm-hmm. I'll listen off on the air.
Okay, go ahead, Bob.
Thank you for letting me get on.
Sure, thanks for calling. Call again, Bob.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on the last caller. I certainly understand, you know, that people are uptight these days. It's kind of, I think, a moral dishonesty to say, if I see that ragged person sleeping in a doorway, I get in touch with my uptightedness, and I don't like that, so I'll make him go away. I'm reminded of Benjamin Franklin, who said, people who, you know, trade freedom for security deserve neither. You know, that there's a...
Get neither as well.
Right.
But, you know, again, you're going back to the homeless issue. I mean, and indeed, frankly, a major motivation for this law is because the main category that they talked about, at least in some of these parking lots and garages, is camping. Camping, which is already criminalized. Camping, which is a survival necessity for people at night. Camping, which in Santa Cruz has the most draconian restrictions, at least on the books, although Rotkin will tell us, Councilmember Rotkin will tell us, we're much nicer than Carmel. They just shoo you out of town. Here, we quote the law at you. But this is primarily a law that impacts everybody. It doesn't just impact homeless people. It destroys everybody's liberty and without any clear justification. I mean, I for example, I was amazed here. The last caller suggests that, there must have been adequate justification. The stakeholders have agreed. I mean, no, there isn't adequate justification. The stakeholders have never been consulted. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hey, Robert. You know, I think that ordinance is a bunch of fucking bullshit, too. And I'm sorry, but that lady that came in the other day saying about how that man was on all fours masturbating, where's the proof? Because if I was a parking garage attendant like that, and that kind of shit was going on, you know what, man? I would be showing up to work with a damn camera in my pocket with film and batteries ready to go. As gross as it may sound, I would want to at least have some sort of piece of hardcore evidence just for that reason, so people can sit there and say, oh, she's full of shit. Yeah, she's making it all up, you know, because she wants to push the council to pass this, so that I can say, see, this is the shit that I have to come and deal with. And I don't agree with it either, because, you know, you see me crawling around with my walker. That walker's a bitch getting in and out of my car, you know.
And by the way, caller, there is no exception for disabled people.
Yeah, and here, you know, I pull into a parking spot after already having to do some running around and getting my walker in and out of my car. And it's like, fuck, I want to lay the seat back a little bit and kind of just kick back and listen to a little music and take a few deep breaths and kind of let my bones and my muscles rest before I have to get out,
you know,
grab my walker out again,
yeah,
you know? I mean, and yeah, and like you said, I think it's a bunch of shit that I haven't seen enough documentation. And all this, whatever, you know, is coming out of Matt Farrell's mouth, you know? It's like, yeah, I think there are laws that deal with such a so-called instance as, you know, a homeless man masturbating or whatever the case may be, but still, you know, it is. It's going to criminalize everybody and anybody that wants to just go in and relax or whatever. And, you know, and I'm not sure. I've never really parked in those garages. But, yeah, particularly, too, if people have to pay to go in there like that. And then, like you said, when you mentioned this last week about they've never mentioned the amount of what the fine of the citation would be. And here again, it was brought up the other day. I think you brought that up when you spoke out about it. And still, if I remember correctly, nobody even came out and said the amount of the fine would be, right?
They didn't. You know, and the reason that they don't, of course, is because they want to kind of slip this one past you. They're trying to make nice talky with the liberals and the student community.
Yeah.
And at the same time, time, you know, please the conservatives. I think that this is an election eve move, too. I think because a lot of these things happened in the 1994. Let me take you on off the air and catch another caller. Anything else?
Sure.
All righty. 427-3772. You're listening to 101.1 FM on the air with Robert, Dove, and Don talking about the parking lot 15-minute and begone law that passed a first reading at City Council that will be probably discussed further, at least referred to further, after this show and the Cedar Street parking lot garage at the Flim Flam Film Festival at 8:15 this evening. So come around there if you want to see a few films. Bring your own popcorn, chairs, blankets, and good spirits, because you need good spirits to weather all this crap, I'll tell you. You know, boy, the callers are just a rolling in. I want to put in a quick bid here and remind you that we only have until April 20th to get the Tax and Regulate City initiative on the ballot. Give a call to help at 466-0420, 466-0420. Volunteer to help do that petitioning because they need help. Hi, you're on free radio. Hello.
Yeah. Is this the radio station?
It is.
Okay, great. I'd like to talk on the air if it's possible.
Please. I think I recognize this voice.
Oh, good.
But go ahead. What's your name, caller?
My name's Paul.
Hey, Paul. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, my attitude about the situation is I think we already have a law about loitering. The question is, what is loitering? I think loitering means when people are hanging around and it looks like they could be mischievous or that it doesn't look like they have any purpose and they might be into planning some bike ripoff or break into a car or some weird shit, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. My attitude is this. People should be busy enough that they have something to do. And if they want to relax for 10 minutes, they should be able to relax for 10 minutes, but not hang out there for an hour and a half, because a woman with a kid might walk by and someone might be drunk and they might harass the woman with a kid, and then the woman would be embarrassed about a kid hearing this funky scene. So the problem is this. The problem is that everyone has to respect each other enough to honor our existence together on the planet. So if someone is homeless, they have a right to be homeless because that's what they're doing. Now, if the government doesn't give them a place to live, then we have parking lots where we put cars. Let's put people up there in those parking lots on the second tier with tents for the night.
Indeed.
With some porta potties and a cop.
You know, that's actually been proposed over the years. I was one of the people who proposed it. Others have proposed it. It was actually a proposal that came out of the Homeless Issues Task Force in 1999. All these proposals have been ignored by the same city council, the same recycled city council members.
Right.
Matthews, Rotkin, Fitzmaurice. They keep getting, you know, reelected, and they keep ignoring this fundamental problem. And then, of course, they blame the results of, not dealing with the problem being, you know, addressing real human needs. It just, you know, human beings don't really go away. I mean, they do die of exhaustion. They do die of, you know, exposure. But the economic system creates more of them, you know, and it could be you or me tomorrow.
Well, no question that people do fall on hard times for whatever reason. And those various reasons should be dealt with, because people should be cared enough for as much as dogs and cats are.
By the way, in answer to your comment about loitering, loitering laws were thrown out nationwide in 1983.
Oh.
Under the Colander versus Larson decision in Los Angeles. I think they've allowed limited, there's been a limited resurrection of loitering laws around drug sales in Santa Cruz. They had some, you can't loiter with intent to sell drugs, another absurdity.
Yeah, but it looks like you're in a corner looking for, waiting for someone to buy something, yeah. But I would go back to what you're saying. The loitering law may be gone, but the attitude isn't.
Well, I mean, I think there are plenty of people who are engaging in different kinds of criminal behavior, many of them in high places, and we don't get to see that, but feel their consequences ever more strongly.
Every class has its problems, yeah.
Right, right. I mean, and some of us get to feel it disproportionately.
Right.
But what we do is instead we're encouraged to turn on each other and be afraid of each other. But I don't deny that I don't want to see my car broken into. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to feel unsafe or have a friend of mine feel unsafe in a parking lot garage. But again, you know, there are also other liberties to be balanced, too. Do we want to give up the right to sit in our car and, you know, work on our homework if we're a student?
Well, first of all, if the car is registered as an illegal parking space, I don't think constitutionally you're doing anything to break a law.
They're making a law, and that's the law that you'll be breaking. See, that's the problem. They are saying even if you park a car, in fact, only if you park a car or a bicycle,
right,
will you be allowed to enter into a parking lot or garage, and then you'll have to leave within 15 minutes.
See, they're maybe trying to stop any kind of quote-unquote drug dealings.
Oh, well, I'm sure. I'm sure. I'm not saying their motivations are evil motivations.
Oh, right.
You know, but I mean, you know, Hitler had the best interests in mind for the German people. He really wanted a society of law and order. He wanted everybody put to work. He wanted to see a race of Germans that was stronger and healthier. He wanted to see people happier. I mean, you know, he wasn't a bad guy. He was just crazy.
That kills people is bad. Anybody that kills people is bad because, obviously, if you love dogs and cats, you should love your human being brethren even more.
Well, we don't love each other much. I mean, I don't know how few people I love. It's one of my personal problems.
Well, it's because our existence as a lifestyle doesn't create loving reality.
Yeah, we're supposed to love our cars and our, you know,
all those
other things. But what are we going to do? I mean, how do you feel? You sound like you're saying it's an okay trade to trade. This law is okay with you because you think that there's a security problem? I'm trying to kind of cut through what you're saying. Is that
a security problem? I definitely think there's a major problem with certain people that are homeless that don't have an attitude of love and kindness and respect, and they're feeling bad for themselves in this situation instead of being aware that they maybe have put themselves in that situation, or maybe they found themselves in that situation for whatever reason, but they should be humble enough to respect people in the space that they're occupying if they're doing something, just hanging around, and respectfully not swearing and making a lot of attitude vibrations that are uncomfortable for people that have children. See, the problem is always children. Drug laws are about children. Pornography laws are all about children. Everything is about children.
Well, you know, it's interesting that the issue of the child, and I hear what you're saying, was not brought up at the Downtown Commission hearings. Vulnerable women was brought up, but the only time the children came up was when one of the homeless advocates said, he wasn't homeless himself, but
right,
he said, I have kids who sometimes take more than 10 minutes, more than 15 minutes to get out of the car. Sometimes I like to keep them in the car while I'm waiting for you know, my mother to go shopping or my grandmother to go shopping.
Oh, right, right.
Now I can't do that. Now that's going to be illegal for
well,
me.
Well, what
see?
You're basically doing is trying to limit people's freedom to be real and who they really are.
Exactly.
Is what they're really trying to do.
I agree with you. And I think what we need to do is compile a list of 1,001 things that people in Santa Cruz
right,
for in the last 30 years, I don't mean homeless people, I mean everybody,
right,
has done in their cars and has done in parking lot and garage, met
a friend. That's funny, man. That's a very good thing. My 100 most favorite things.
Yeah, yeah.
We
circulate
it
around, you know.
Well, the Good Times of the Metro might be into that.
I think it's a great idea, and I'd like to see somebody start it. I mean,
Chris
I've been babbling about it.
I think
it
would be cool. Krista Martin from the Metro.
Okay, well, maybe you can email her and suggest it to her.
Well, I'll just go to the office and talk to her. But
I
was going to basically end up the conversation to say one thing. Santa Cruz is still a beautiful place. It's been homogenized to a San Jose reality after the earthquake only because they planned on more commercialities and more business on higher echelon economics keep continuing, you know, and they don't want to attract a low crowd, a vibration of economic people because they don't want to close down the business opportunities of the people, and they don't want a lot of people begging because they think those people are taking away some of the money that could be going into the stores, blah, 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 blah. But the point of the matter is everyone has a right to be.
You got it.
And so as long as nobody's bothering someone else by doing something to disturb someone else, they have a right to be wherever they are. And that's the Constitution. That's liberty.
You would think so, but watch out for Bush. He's moving in on the – actually, he already did. He moved in on the Constitution five years ago.
Bush is a high rider from Texas. Who you don't mess with Texas. That's their major motto. I forgot one more thing I wanted to say is the stop sign is the key to this whole problem. Once we created the stop sign, we stopped our heart consciousness from flowing naturally. So when you drive, you get in the routine of stopping because the sign tells you to stop. And, of course, it's a safety issue, of course. But check it out.
I'm going to ponder that one. Thank you for calling
in,
caller.
Thank you so much for your show, Robert.
Hey, thank you.
Peace.
Yeah. Go ahead. Phone line's open, 427-3772, in the studio with Dove and Don. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, I had a comment in terms of the last listener's call. And I was listening to the caller's strong feelings here, and it seemed like the words he used to describe his feelings were sort of justifications of the motives of, you know, the people on the city council. for a long time on the street, when I was on the street, I believed that so many people really had good intentions. Sometimes we found on the street that they really didn't have good intentions. It's hard for me to get my mind around there is a person making a law which will affect me. I'm not homeless now. However, I might look that way. So if I'm standing in a rainstorm and I duck into under a parking garage roof, I could be arrested because I'm what? What am I doing?
Because you're there without a vehicle or a bicycle.
Right. So that people who own vehicles and bicycles have more rights than people who don't?
If you are using a parking lot or garage, saith the city attorney, you should use them for parking bicycles and cars. That's what they are intended for. If you want to get a homeless shelter, go out to our homeless shelter. For many of the nights, there's been some vacancies available, according to the claim by, I think it was either Matt Farrell or some other person. In fact, of course, there are 1,500 to 2,000 homeless people and 160 spaces for people to go total, so that doesn't really make a lot of sense. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Robert, and I believe, did you want to say something before Don? Go ahead, caller. What would you like to say?
Hi, this is Tim.
Hi, Tim.
I just wanted to talk up the marijuana lowest priority initiative.
I've mentioned the phone number, but go ahead. Give us a quick update.
Yeah, the phone number again is 466-0420, and we have until 420.
April 20th.
Yeah, to get this on the ballot, and we need we still need quite a few signatures. So, if anyone's even thought about helping out, now's the time. You know, if I know there's a lot of people in Santa Cruz who are going to be celebrating 420, and you know, if we'll have a lot more to celebrate if more people help out.
Yeah, this is a measure that will make marijuana busts, not just medical marijuana, but all marijuana busts the lowest priority and set up a system that will oversee how the police are treating marijuana arrests, things of that sort.
Exactly.
It'll also encourage the city to encourage the state to decriminalize or tax and regulate marijuana. And it'll do so at the November election if it gets 3,900-plus signatures from registered city voters, right?
Yeah, somewhere in that neighborhood. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but we're looking to get...
You paying people to do this? I mean, should people treat this as an economic opportunity, or is that not happening yet?
That may still be possible.
You sound uncertain, but it's a firm maybe, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think something could be arranged.
466-0420 is the number to call if you want to be part of the Santa Cruzans for, what is it, Sensible Marijuana Policy?
Yeah, Santa Cruz Citizens.
Santa Cruz Citizens for a Sensible Marijuana Policy. I encourage you to show up at the Flim Flam Film Festival tonight, Tim, with your petition. You might find some new signatures.
Yeah, well, actually, I was going to say we will be showing up there. So.
And bring your joints with you, for heaven's sake. I mean, God forbid that we do a smoke out. I mean, that would, you know. Of course, from a non-smoker like myself, what does that mean? I don't know. But nonetheless, I make an exception for smoking marijuana in public places, particularly under existing conditions of craziness.
I know those guerrilla drive-ins have a lot of cigarette smokers, so, you know...
That might be illegal. I might have to start arresting people for cigarette smoking, you know.
Anyway, yeah, look for us there.
Hey, 466-0420, in case you can't get to the Flim Flam Film Festival tonight, Cedar Street Garage, 8:15. Thank you, Tim.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye. Now a little... do you want to say something, Don? Are you still waiting to say something? Go ahead.
What I wanted to say about the parking lots law is that real people will really die because this law is passed. And I think that's what every consideration has to be weighed against. that real people will really die. And people do really die on the street because of a lack of shelter. That is a real thing. And I, you know, I'm not looking forward to going to next year's memorial service for people who have died on the street, because I know that the numbers are going to be higher. And I think that's a tragedy. And I think that just because the, you know, it's clear that the tramps scare people. And, you know, I think that very much in part is because when people are on the street, a whole different culture has arisen, and that there are cultural barriers between people in other walks of life and people talking to people on the street when they try to communicate with one another. And one other thing that I really wanted to mention while I have an opportunity is that I was really a rag after I was faced down the city council last night. And as I was walking away, Robert, as I'm walking, he's waiting, and he's over by the line. As I'm walking away, Robert says to me, "You want to be on the radio?" And it was such an incredibly wonderful boost. And I really thank him for this opportunity to be here. Thank you, Robert.
And as I told you, I think we need to hear from you, and I think you shouldn't have been cut off at 2 minutes. Frankly, it didn't matter to them. They didn't care what you said or what any of us said, frankly. The real problem is they don't care what the staff says, because the staff report does not justify this law. Even their downtown commission head, Julie Shattuck, eagerly wanted to take the law back when one council member said, "Let's send it back and look for some amendments. Maybe we should make this only from dawn to dusk, or maybe we should, you know, extend the law to half an hour, or look for some changes." And all Rotkin would say was just move the machine ahead. "Oh, we can make these changes later. We can look at it in a year from now. You know, let's just pass it. And if there's some problems, I'll come back in 2 weeks and I'll vote against the lot provision, or I'll make changes if I don't like the law. But as it stands, we must proceed," and so forth. This sort of, you know, get their agenda out of the way. Do what Cynthia Matthews and Coonerty have been planning to do for months with the staff members of these different groups. And, you know, there's a broader issue here. I mean, obviously, even without this law, people are fucked. I mean, you know, you can get into a parking lot structure on occasion when it rains. But the fact of the matter is there was still a huge homeless death toll last year and the year before. And I talked to three people who got pneumonia on the streets in the last 2 months. And they got treated for it, and I think they got better. At least one of them did. C.J. Stock was one of them, a local musician. But, you know, where CJ plays across the street, it's under a parking lot roof. It's at the same place we're going to be, the Cedar Street Garage, right across from Clouds, where we're going to be having the Flim Flam Film Festival tonight. That will be illegal for him to do at the end of May. And again, for those who want the timetable, the City Council returns on April 25th to pass this law to second reading, and a month after that date of final passage, it goes into effect. Now, if people really want to fight this, and I'm afraid they probably don't, but if they do, they need to think about things like setting up a tent city on the third floor of a parking lot the day this law goes into effect, or maybe 3 months before it goes into effect. In fact, they should probably set up a tent city on City Hall steps until such time as all the public space that is being stolen, not just from the homeless, but from the entire community, by a small gang of bureaucrats and the staff, is replaced or is somehow provided for elsewhere. We're talking about the equivalent of 8 to 10 city blocks that are being removed. There are 19 surface parking lots, and there are 4 parking lots that are multi-level garages, some of them 2-level and 2 of them 3-level. I think one of them is 4-level, I'm not sure. But in any case, these have now become no-go zones under this for everybody. I mean, you know, yeah, if you got a car or bicycle, you can go for 15 minutes. After that, you're a criminal. And, of course, you know, then we got into this, well, if you're a mom with your kids, they're going to be nicer to you. They will probably be nicer to you, and that's a crime in and of itself, the selective enforcement. But you will be giving the police and their toadies more power. At a time when we see what police do when they get more power. Police are not bad people, but people in uniforms with badges and guns become bad people. That's the problem. Hi, you're on Free Radio with the Big Three here. Hello? Can't hear
Hi.
You. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. What's your name?
Turtle.
Who?
Turtle.
Turtle.
Sorry.
Hey, Turtle. What's the word, Turtle? Go ahead.
I was just going to mention no more saxophone in the parking lot.
No more what?
Saxophone.
Yeah, no more saxophoning in the parking lot. That's a no-no, okay? No more clarinet,
and,
no guitar, no drums, and no whistling either, for that matter.
I'll miss the saxophone.
Yeah, me too.
I had something else to say, too. Just earlier you had mentioned the smoking thing in San Lorenzo Park, and that's, I'm pretty sure that's actually directed at young people who smoke pot in the park.
And homeless people who hang out, and there's sort of a community of drunks,
yeah.
alcoholics who hang out
yeah,
there and smoke.
And I didn't know that the hacky sacking was illegal downtown. That's kind of lame. It just seems like it would be an interesting thing to see homeless people and young people kind of get together and work together a little bit, because it seems like they're kind of targeted together a lot.
Definitely. In fact, there's a Huff meeting. I invite all you. Sound like you're a young person.
I'm older than I sound.
Okay. Well, get your young friends to, and you too, come on down to the Huff meeting, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. We meet every Wednesday, 9:30 in the morning, right at the coffee cart outside the county building, between the county building and the courthouse, right before you go in through the metal detector there. It's at 9:30.
Yeah, I'd like to come.
Come.
I work usually at that time.
But no masturbating on all fours, I'm afraid. We don't allow that. You know, that would be wrong. And you can't take a dump, even if the bathrooms are closed. You'll have to hold it for 12 hours, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. I would like to see young people, you know, form an alliance with homeless people. I would like to see cranky smokers who have a lot of property get together with homeless smokers and say, you know, we may hate you because we think you're bums, but we don't think that as smokers your rights should be taken away, or that you should, as the last caller said, or some callers, Paul said, you know, there's a real problem with safety and security, but everybody should have a right to be themselves in some fundamental way. This really impinges on that primary Ninth Amendment right, which is it's a kind of, they call it the right to privacy. It's the right to have that space where you can do what you need to do to be yourself. Like, what that may be, listening to music in your car, maybe reading a book, maybe meditating. Now that's going to be stripped from you. See, that's the point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I've taken up all your time. What anything else, Turtle?
No. That was it.
come to the Huff meeting if you want. Again, you can go online, look for Huff, and you can find it, or you can just come to the Huff meeting Wednesday or call the Huff line, 423-HUFF.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, actually, I have a question while I've got you on the line.
Okay.
At one point, I was interested in getting involved with, what's it called, Cop Watch?
Yes.
Is it still Tom? Is that his name? Is he still around?
Tom Belote. Yeah, no, Tom is no longer in town, although he occasionally kind of sends an email our way. He started a Cop Watch here. He started a Cop Watch in Watsonville, started a Cop Watch in San Jose. And then I think he's gone back to college or university, or maybe he's traveling. I don't know what he's doing, but you could start a Cop Watch. You know, get a bunch of people together and start talking about, I mean, if you leave a message on the free radio voicemail line, you might get some response, because some free radio people have previously been workers in Cop Watch. Free radio voicemail, for those who want to know, is 427-4523. If you want to,
okay, thanks.
Sure. 427-4523 is the free radio voicemail, and it's also where you can send donations, you can give public service announcements, you can ask questions, you can jump into all kinds of factional fights at free radio, think of the thrill. We got all kinds of things. But again, 427-4523, if you want to come here on the air for the next 10 minutes before I go off to the Flim Flam Film Festival, try to say that one fast. The number here is 427-3772. I'm going to turn now to a little the street interviews that I've been putting off and off and off.
Alexander, this is a continuation of another interview. Alexander, you said that Pam Bechtel today, April 12, 2006, when you and three others were seated behind Logos Bookstore taking shelter from the rain, were driven out into the rain by Pam Bechtel, CSO?
Yes.
Can you say it was still raining when that happened?
Yes, it was still raining, and we were just trying to stay dry and warm, but she would not let us stay to do that.
What did anybody protest? Did everybody meekly go off into the rain? What happened?
we were taking our time by packing up, so we still have some time.
Did you say she'd received a complaint?
Nope.
Did you say that she'd give you some other place to go?
Nope.
And she cited no ordinance or law that stated why you had to move along?
No, she didn't. We were just sitting there, trying to stay warm and dry.
Has this happened to you before?
Yes, it has.
When was the previous occasion?
The previous occasion was... about a little over a week ago.
And what happened there?
I was just relaxing under an overhang, and it was just by myself, and it was pouring down rain. She comes up and
the same
said,
the same officer?
Yes. And I was trying to stay dry, and she told me to move.
Where was this?
Over at kind of over by the Galleria.
Did she tell you where to move, or had there been a complaint?
No complaint.
What time of day?
I would say like mid morning, about mid morning.
What did you do?
Then I just moved to another place.
Did she? It was out of her sight.
Yes.
Have you heard of this happening to anybody else?
Not really.
Okay. Anything else you want to report on?
Nope.
Thank you. We've been talking with...
Alexander.
Thank you, Alexander.
You're welcome.
No. I don't give you permission, Robert. Get the fuck away from me with that.
Right, listening to the music of
Free Eagle. How you doing?
Not bad. Thank you, Free Eagle.
He's got his grill. Be all right. Don't you know everything?
We're listening to a little street music from last night. I guess it was the rain was still on the ground, and folks were huddling under the eaves at Borders. Some of them not too happy. One guy didn't want to be recorded at all, but this guy did. He enjoyed it, and we enjoy him. He got, I think, all of $1.10 in his guitar case. And he sounds as good as any professional musician to me.
Fiery old dragging down, 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 down. The Phoenix is arriving for a
inefficient. Telling me everything's going to be all right.
Okay, it's about 15 to 10. I'm talking to
Taz Barker.
And Taz, the last talked to you a couple of months ago, or maybe about a month and a half ago. You were in court. I guess the two of you were together in court. I see you're here in your blue slicker and got your bike with you. And with you is...
Red.
And Red, infamous Red. So you were found trespassing, i.e. trying to take shelter from a storm?
Yes, I was.
And remind us again of the circumstances.
Well, it was raining that whole week, and the house was for sale, and the back door was open, so I just let myself in to get up out the rain.
And was this infamous Red person with you?
Yes, she was.
Dun, 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 dun. Okay. So, but you weren't being charged with a Red at that time.
I was being charged as well.
And the case was ended up in a plea bargain, right? But did you plea bargain out as well?
Yes.
So what was, I know when you were going to take the case to trial at some point, but you changed your mind.
Yeah, because I was later taken into custody on some bullshit you fit the description of. Hey, go away. And then they found a knife on me. The DA couldn't really make it stick because I'm homeless. I might need it as a tool. So they decided to slap me with the trespassing, to which I pleaded out to get released. Now I have work release, and it sucks.
Tell us about work release and why it sucks.
Well, there's not really any work to do unless it rains and you have to pick up leaves. The staff is less than cooperative. I really think they want to see you fail, personally.
What does success or failure constitute for a person on work release?
Well, in my eyes, failure would constitute getting locked up, and they make you do your time. But success is putting up with some psychological and mental strain because of someone else's bad day.
Now, how many hours of work release do you have to do, and how much have you already done now?
I have 15 sessions left, as for 15 days, of which I've done like six.
So and there are about another 9 days to do?
Yeah, they're about 6-7 hour work days, so.
And you walk around picking up leaves?
Or? Yeah, twice a week, raking, picking up leaves, gardening, basically, around in jail.
Now, what about you, Red? Similar situation? Or?
Actually, I didn't have work release, but I got mine dismissed, and I think I have to show up for community service. I don't know. I can check up on that.
I understand one of the reasons that you chose not to contest this was, and tell me if I'm out of line here, Red, your fear that you might be vulnerable on the streets if the two of you weren't together out here and there wasn't some more group protection happening?
It's like basically with my bike I was able to get around, and they arrested him for having a weapon on him, so it doesn't make sense for me to be out here alone with all the perverts they let out of jail and out of prison, and, you know, it doesn't make sense for me to be out here without a knife with him being arrested for having a knife, especially without my bike. I was scared to be without my bike, and I was lucky that he got out the same day.
And so you did a plea bargain because of your desire to be protective of Red?
That's the only reason. I would have taken the bullshit 30 days if it weren't for her, but that's how it is sometimes.
Is this true love, or are you just a nice guy?
Both.
Dun, 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 dun. Okay, well, any other... I don't know. Is there any other instances of people being ousted in the rain that you've seen since you've been observing the last couple weeks?
Oh, Taz wants his hoodie back. That detective, I don't know whatever hell his name was, but... Mr. Mike Medina, I didn't think it was cool what you did with my hoodie and my pants, man. I'd appreciate having that back.
Are you speaking of Officer Medina?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Of the Santa Cruz
Officer
Police Department?
Michael Medina, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and by the way, to the rent-a-cop at the Metro, he knows who I'm talking to. When I was there alone and some drunk pervert was hitting on me and he wouldn't kick him out away from the Metro, but he'll kick us out in the rain, I don't think so, dude. I could have his job.
Now,
somebody else, unemployed, could have his job and do a lot better.
Now, were you kicked out by the Metro Guard into the rain recently? Or?
I was kicked out by the Metro Guard instead of him kicking out a drunk pervert, and the pervert actually wound up following me. I almost had to pull my knife on him. That shit's not cool. That's what his job is, so I don't have to do that.
Now, are we talking about a shabbily dressed person who was following you, or a well-dressed person? Was there a class difference?
This is a drunk old guy. Decided that I'm, you know, I look like an underage girl out here. I look like I'm by myself. I look vulnerable, even though I may have a knife, a smiley. You don't know what I have on me. It could be his walking death, but he don't know that. I could look like a little girl that he could easily, you know, put in his car and rape. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to kill him. Even if I have to kill him right in front of a rent-a-cop and the guy is screaming, you know, for his mommy, I'm not going to give a fuck. I'm going to defend my life, you know.
Have you had to do that before?
Thank God, no.
And have you heard of other women in Santa Cruz who have had to do that?
I'm certain I know of quite a few girls who will not be caught without their knife or some sort of protection, if not their man.
And now, finally, before we leave, here's again a brief statement from Rico Thunder about the Flim Flam Film Festival. We caught up with him yesterday downtown.
We're here about 8:45, and I'm not going to say indoors, talking with
Rico Thunder.
And Rico, tomorrow night, actually Thursday, April 13th, I believe, Thursday the 13th, in the parking lot garage at Cedar and Locust?
Yes, that'd be the famous Cedar Street garage, the two-story one.
Parking lot number three? Is
yeah, well, I don't know about number three, but if you can't keep track of them, I think the only one with two stories.
Two stories. There's going to be a special story on story one or story two that the story will be told.
We're going to be hosting the Gorilla Drive-In is hosting the first annual Santa Cruz Flim Flam Film Fest, a celebration of repressive laws. And so you're welcome to come starting about 8:15. We're going to be, the people will be gathered down below watching movies that we're showing about local as well as other places. Repressive laws and resistance to them.
Now, do you intend to interfere with the normal parking of automobiles and the kind of decent and average activities that Santa Cruzans would normally be doing on this evening?
Oh, by no means. We might interfere with people's commerce, as we'll be providing entertainment and information. And so it
dragging
might...
people away from our businesses and luring them into some questionably free activity. Will there be any masturbating at this activity?
No, not any masturbating that we have planned, though you can bring your own masturbator if you like.
As a baiter, we've known that you are a master baiter.
No comment to the press. With
I'm referring, of course, to the concerns of some parking lot attendants that they found questionable people masturbating in the parking lots, and that's why they have to be closed to the public at all hours, unless you're, of course, parking your vehicle or walking through, and then only for 15 minutes.
It probably comes down to, like, how much money can businesses make if people are just hanging out in parking garages instead of shopping. And so, as such, I guess, we're not going to be helping the problem. We're going to be making it worse by having an evening of entertainment that people can come down. Let's see, the show will be airing tomorrow, so probably in about an hour real time. Come on down to the Cedar Street Garage, and we're going to be showing shorts from as far afield as New York and as near afield as right here, dealing with repressive ordinances. You know, of course, that you can't sit downtown or blow bubbles or hacky sack or juggle or
sleep. You can juggle. There was an exception made for that in 2003. We've got to get clear. Okay. We don't want to exaggerate.
You can juggle if you're a professional juggler.
Actually, you can juggle whether you're a professional juggler or not, but you can't blow bubbles. Unless you're always great to make these corrections.
So you can't sit, you can't lay down, you can't sleep, and if you possess a blanket, they can excite you for it. After 11 o'clock. You know, there's restrictions on you as a performer, restrictions on you as a panhandler and as a sign shower. Robert, I'm sure you have plenty to add to that, and that's our little liberal, laid-back Santa Cruz town.
So I sense a certain mocking or critical tone in your voice when you talk about our city's laws.
Well, I think that every time I hear someone say, we need to prevent it becoming a police state, and they're referring, of course, to some, you know, national issue, and I've heard our own dear city council say that very thing. But, of course, when it comes to, you know, downtown, you know, if you breathe wrong or look funny or undesirable or a little unbalanced or not buying something or not spending money, then get the fuck out.
And I'm going to have to get the fuck out. I'm heading for the Flim Flam Film Festival. Be coming back on Sunday, 9:30. Join me then. Thanks for being with me on this edition of Bathrobes, Beers, Broadsides.
This is Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1 FM, and it is time now for From the Cream to the Dregs, music from the 60s and 70s. Uncle Dennis is the host of this show, but he had something he had to do this evening, and hopefully it will be enjoyable. I'm sure it will. The sounds of it. My name is George, and I am sitting in for Uncle Dennis this evening. I have been given the secret, super secret code to the vault of Uncle Dennis's albums, vinyl. So I'm going to be dipping into that a little bit, but I'm also going to be mixing in some of my own music. I've brought along some Tom Waits and a number of, I guess, kind of bluegrass type stuff that I'll be playing. I'll be mixing my own music in. If there's anything you want to hear, you can give me a call at 427-3772. If I play something you don't like or you do like, you're welcome to call in. Either way, 427-3772. Let me know what you think. Uncle Dennis will be back next week, and I'll be keeping with some of the themes this evening. Try to do some environmental news, and we do have a brew of the week tonight, and hopefully Hobo Lee will be joining me a little later on, maybe around 9 o'clock, possibly. Possibly Hobo Lee might be joining me mid-show. We'll see what happens. And if he does, we'll do the show together, and we'll see what happens. This is some Velvet Underground. Let's return to it.
Watch out, the world's behind you. There's always someone around.
and from the weight of the load and by the alley at dawn in the morning paper fly. Dead man lying by the side of the road with the daylight in his eyes. Don't let it bring you down. It's only castles burning. Find someone who's turning and you will come around. Just find someone who's turning and you